Hey guys, I really like, you guys know me. I like geeky stuff. I like comic books.
What?
Oh yeah, movies, pop culture stuff, video games.
Not what? You.
Yes, it's true. It's true.
Say it ain't so.
I know, but you know what the problem I have? I have a problem finding out how to get this stuff. I'm maybe like on a regular monthly basis, maybe?
If only there was some sort of...
like a service or
like
something.
A monthly subscription box.
Yeah.
That would fuel your geek needs.
Oh, yes. Yes.
That's a good word to use.
I got $1 million idea, guys.
What's that?
Thanks.
That's a monthly subscription box called Geek Fuel.
What? And where would you get that at?
Geekfuel.com/all of my issues.
Yes.
All right, well, my mind is blown right now. So
I'll give you $3 off.
$3
right now.
Whoa, you are blowing my mind right now.
Yeah, keep it up.
I don't know what to say. My world is upside down.
You had me at $3 off.
Yeah,
you had me at Geek Fuel.
At Geek Fuel, monthly subscription box full of awesome.
Buy it now.
And welcome to another episode of All My Issues. In this episode, episode 38, we talk about Game of Thrones and the new Spider-Man Homecoming movie. Woohoo! There's a few other things we talk about too, but let's do a new thing. We're going to talk about a fun fact. And since we are talking about Spider-Man today, let's do a fun fact about Spider-Man. All right. Spider-Man first appeared in issue number 15 of Amazing Fantasy in August 1962. Interestingly enough, that is also the last issue of that series known as Amazing Fantasy. Spider-Man's adventures continued on after that series ended in Amazing Spider-Man, and that began in 1963. All right. So without further ado, let's get on with the podcast.
I'm Sam.
I'm Chris.
All right, today we're going to talk about Game of Thrones and Spider-Man Homecoming.
Oh.
And some other stuff.
And other news.
Tidbits and whatnot. I guess the first thing we probably want to get off the plate is the passing of George Romero.
All right.
Well,
hold on a second. Let me consult the keeper of the list.
Oh, yes, yes.
Sam?
Yes.
How are we starting?
With Mr. George Romero.
All right.
Right. So, it's been confirmed. Unfortunately, he passed away, last week now, I think, at this point.
It was last week.
Yeah. I met him one time. He seemed like a nice guy.
Okay.
But I never got his autograph or anything. I just talked with him, because at the time, I don't know why. It's like the
time what?
Thing. At the time when I met him, he was there having stuff for sale, and I could have got something signed for him. It was at a Pittsburgh comic book convention.
Yeah.
He was there. I kind of did the same thing with David Carradine.
Yeah.
Never got his either.
Yeah, we talked about David Carradine.
Yeah.
That's sad. I was like, when I would go to Steel City Con, I hoped that he would be there. So.
Yeah. He was only at the one Pittsburgh con that I went to. And the thing was crazy. There wasn't even a big line.
Oh, wow.
And it was just kind of... there was no line for David Carradine when I saw him either. I don't know. I just kind of always assumed,
I've noticed this about, for example, Steel City Con. And that might just be a Pittsburgh thing. But, I mean, actually, we noticed it at Wizard World, too. If at the right times, there's just no lines for people. Like, there seem to be lines, like, right at the beginning for, like, whatever big stars are there, or, like, the Walking Dead people, there's huge lines, but, like, Prince Humperdinck, you'd think someone, I just walked up to him.
Because
my kid's addicted to Jack Skellington, and Pablo from Evil Dead, and there was no line. I mean, I'm literally waving to people. Yondu, there was a line for, but...
And it's funny, too, because when I saw Michael Rooker the one day, there was no line for him.
Either. Really?
Yeah, it was the same thing. But then the next day, it was a relatively big line. So,
it's the wrestlers that get the huge lines.
Yeah, that's
true. Because they're only there for like 4 hours.
That's true, too, yeah.
And have a panel.
Yeah,
4 hours to have a fan. We gotta get back on the road. Yeah. That was like Ernie Hudson. Remember when we seen him?
Yeah.
And it was like It was like nobody
at his panel.
At his line. At his table.
There was people at his panel, I guess.
Yeah,
but there was nobody at his table. Yeah,
nobody at his table. We like walked past several times, and finally we're like, hey, let's go talk to
Ernie Hudson.
How do you not talk to Ernie Hudson?
I know, right?
That's a great story.
And his story that he told us about Ghostbusters was amazing.
Yeah. And Leviathan.
And Leviathan, yeah.
You told me the Leviathan story.
Yeah.
Enough
fun.
He was supposed to live.
Oh, that's right. The thing I thought that was interesting about the Ghostbusters one, though, is that how much of a bigger role he was supposed to have.
Yeah,
I thought that was fascinating.
They set it down, and
well, once they didn't get Eddie Murphy,
exactly. And
that's what he said.
He seemed a little bit bitter at the time.
At that time, but that was like a long time ago.
Yeah. And he's probably much happier about it now.
Yeah.
I was kind of upset when I was watching the new Ghostbusters because, okay, you had like Sigourney Weaver do her cameo, and you had Bill Murray do his cameo. You had Dan Aykroyd kind of do his cameo. And so, and even
Harold Ramis had a little cameo. His bust.
And then I think her name was Potts.
Oh, yeah.
Annie Potts.
Yeah.
But then Ernie Hudson's cameo was basically when the credits are rolling.
But you know, though, at least they gave it to him. I was worried that they weren't going to give him any type of, I was like, man, that sucks for Ernie Hudson. He's getting saved again, but at least he was in it.
They pushed him onto it. Like, we forgot Ernie Hudson. And like, hey, and the credits starts rolling. I'm like, seriously?
It almost seemed like it was kind of poking fun, though, almost at the first one where he was. If anybody knows the backstory about like how he's supposed to,
maybe,
but you know,
that's how I like to think of it anyway.
And you just happen to be the relative of. So okay, I just
still think that movie would have been just so much better if it took place in the same Ghostbusters universe as opposed to this parallel universe where those actors, and play totally different people.
It probably would have been better if you know the ghost didn't bring out balloon ghost. I'm just trying to figure what the heck that was all about. So the balloon ghost.
Yeah.
I didn't watch that movie.
Yeah. You know, I didn't hate it. It got a lot of hate, but I didn't hate it.
I saw a little piece of it. Like my kids liked it.
Yeah.
I showed my oldest the original.
Yeah. Wes enjoyed it too. He's seen the original. I think he liked the original.
The most important thing is I find that there's no better way to eulogize George Romero than by talking about Ghostbusters.
man, that's right. We segued right off of that.
Segued completely off of that.
But George Romero.
That's a lot of people we just pissed off.
It is. Oh, man. But no, I mean, you got to give him all the credit. He basically created the modern zombie.
He most definitely did.
Without a doubt. I remember the first time I watched Night of the Living Dead, I was amazed by the movie.
I was terrified.
I was too.
I was scared.
But completely enthralled by
it. And I watched it in the afternoon on Channel 67 out of Canton, Ohio.
Yeah.
And it was Halloween and the trick-or-treaters were coming. And it was watching the kids walking down the street like zombies. And I was just like, why is this happening? I was young.
Yeah.
I mean, I was like 10 maybe.
Okay, I was probably a little bit older than that, but the movie still really creeped me out. It just that movie just made you feel so claustrophobic.
Before I started getting scared at "They're coming to get you, Barbara."
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. It was
super creepy.
Yeah.
And then just even like Dawn of the Dead, you know.
Dawn of the Dead's great. You know, I didn't watch that until I was older.
Yeah, I didn't either. But social commentary involved, and I mean, it's just intelligent zombie movies.
Yeah.
Awesome stuff. You will be missed, without a doubt. All right, what else is on the list, Sam?
On the list.
On the list.
I'm adding to the list as we're going.
Adding to the list.
Sorry.
Well, speaking of, you know, zombies.
Okay.
All right.
The Walking Dead.
The Walking Dead, you say?
Dead. Robert Kirkman just yesterday has said that he has begun working towards the end of the comic.
Get out of here.
What was originally planned as a never-ending comic book.
Yeah. Is now going to have an ending.
Is going to have an ending. And he actually said that the original ending that he saw for it, he missed a long time ago the opportunity to actually end it that way. So he said when he started writing it, he knew they'd end up at the prison. He knew there'd be the governor. He knew all of that. And then as he kept writing, he kept figuring things out that were going to happen later and later. So he kept pushing off an ending that he saw. And then now everything's gone so far that the original ending would never work. But he thought of a new way to end it a couple years ago and has started putting all the pieces in motion.
Oh.
So who knows how long it goes, or if he changes his mind or backs out or whatever. Yeah. But
finds another direction to go into. Yeah, because I always kind of thought of it as being kind of almost the, at least at this point. I'm way behind on the comic, but it really gave me the sense that it was never going to end.
Well, that was when he first came out with it. That was what he said. He said he wanted to see what happens when the movie typically would end, and you're left with.
Yeah, what happens afterwards.
What happens after. You don't live happily ever after in a zombie apocalypse, so
yeah. You
just live, so.
Right. Interesting. Oh, yeah. Let's see what happens with that. Yeah. What else is on that list, Sam?
All right. On the list is Spider-Man Homecoming.
Spider-Man Homecoming?
Yes. We have all seen it.
Yes. And
we have not really talked about it a whole lot.
We have not.
So we've saved it for you all.
I've actually seen it.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
All right. So tell us what you think.
Yeah, Moneybags, tell us.
In my opinion, it is the best Spider-Man.
Okay.
It's the best portrayal of the character Peter Parker, I think. I liked all the characters that were in the film. They felt like teenagers. They weren't like a 30-something Tobey Maguire. Granted, I love Spider-Man 2, and I think that is an awesome superhero movie.
Yes, I agree with you.
But there are some issues with it. The one train sequence that they have, I think, is probably one of the best like superhero moments ever captured, probably. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, just the him, you know, that is like the epitome of Spider-Man, I think.
Posing like Jesus with the webs.
Exactly.
And then being carried off like a martyr.
Yeah. And that's the only thing that this movie probably didn't have.
Not had it. Yeah. He didn't get carried off afterwards, but he did that exact same pose.
Yes.
Trying to keep the boat together.
It didn't have the same meaning, though.
It didn't, because Tony Stark came and bailed him out.
Yeah, right.
But that's because he's a teenager.
Exactly. But the one thing that it did have, which you see like in Spider-Man comics all the time, I think, is that
hot Aunt May?
Hot Aunt May.
I see that in the comics all the time.
But you know him trapped underneath the rubble,
mm-hmm.
and kind of at first kind of struggling, and kind of doing it. I mean, that's a famous Spider-Man moment there, I think.
Right.
You know, and they and I don't think any of the other movies captured anything like that. I thought that was just pitch perfect in that movie.
Sam, what did you think? Here it comes.
Here's. I like Spider-Man Homecoming. I think.
Well, that's a weird way to pronounce loved, but okay, go on.
I think Tom Holland, the actor who's playing Spider-Man / Peter Parker, I think the character is in good hands. Do I think that it is better than Spider-Man 2? No. I still got Spider-Man 2 first, and actually I have Spider-Man after that, then I have Spider-Man Homecoming.
Really?
Yes.
You are on crack.
No. Yeah. And here's why. Because as I'm watching the movie and everything, it's more of a typical superhero movie. And when I look back at when I was watching Spider-Man and Spider-Man 2, it was still, you know, a superhero movie, but it had more feeling to it. It had more of the downtrodden Peter Parker than Homecoming is more of, hey, I just got my powers. I'm learning how to use it. So I think Marvel and Sony, right, are going in the right track. Yeah. I think the next movie, if they do the same formula, I think it will he'll start surpassing Spider-Man 2. But I think this particular movie does not. I do want to say that I think Michael Keaton is one of the best spider villains that we've seen on screen.
I'm going to go a step farther and say that with the exception of Loki, he is the best Marvel villain that has appeared on screen.
I would say that.
Loki is the only one I feel that is more complete, and he's had three movies to make me feel that way. Yeah, yeah. I thought Michael Keaton was amazing.
Yes. Spoilers. Spoilers for just gonna. That car scene.
That was absolutely phenomenal.
Oh my gosh.
But if you think about it, though, what was he really going to do? Think about it. You're really going to shoot your daughter's date while he's in the car?
No, that wasn't the point of the scene. It wasn't what he was going to do. It was the dawning realization that he was in the car with his archenemy.
Well, I understand that, and
Tom Holland knowing it. And Tom Holland coming to realize that he knows it as well, the tension in that car. Yeah.
Oh, so
I refer to like the tension between like the whole the Hobgoblin, not Hobgoblin, but the Willem Dafoe and Tobey Maguire. Why can't I say Tobey Maguire?
Because he's 40 and you don't want to talk about this in a teenager movie.
But I mean that same tension was like in Spider-Man, so it's kind of like
I guess it
was there, but I don't think it's anywhere near the same level.
So yeah, there was the dinner.
Yes,
and what happens at that moment where Willem Dafoe, he just kind of gets up and leaves.
That's true.
Yeah,
there's
yeah.
I mean he. At the point, I don't know how to want to word this. All right, so we're going to talk. Spider-Man suffered, the original Spider-Man, not the original, but the first Tobey Maguire movie, suffers from the problem. Well, the first problem is that the entire cast does not seem as if they're 15 years old or 18 years old, and they seem to be waiting until seniors for the whatever. Secondly, you've got a superhero movie in which a superhero becomes that's in its own universe because it's not with the rest of the Marvel movies. So you have a single superhero gaining their power, and you have a separate supervillain gaining his power at the exact same time in history, even though the two things are not related to each other. It wasn't really the serum or anything that was trying to create the Green Goblin that created the spider that created him. So that takes a lot of things to chance that the very first two superhuman people happened to come at the exact same time. What else do I have problems with the original Spider-Man? You take an amazing actor in Willem Dafoe.
Yeah. and cover his face up.
And cover his face up with a metal mask, even though he looks like the freaking Green Goblin in person.
Yeah, yeah. So, they just need to paint him green.
Well, wait. So you think it would have worked better if he would have just wore a mask, a Green Goblin?
Did you
mask?
See the Did you see the practical effects that they originally were going for?
Yeah, they had like a
prosthetic scene that was animatronic and looked exactly like the comic book.
Yeah,
oh my gosh, it was beautiful. But instead, they went with a giant metal mask. So
I'm not sure why they went that route either, but I think the prosthetic mask would have been awesome. And that's one of the like.
Don't get me wrong.
Yeah,
I really liked Spider-Man. I loved Spider-Man too.
Yeah.
And I think it goes toe to toe with the best of the Marvel movies. I just liked Homecoming more.
I just didn't have any feeling towards it. It was just like, okay, it's just another movie. I did not leave out of there like, oh wow, that was great. Like I did with both Spider-Man and Spider-Man 2. And it's not...
Maybe that's because it's the first time like Spider-Man was put on film.
No, and I thought about that.
You don't
too.
Think you have Spider-Man fatigue because this is the sixth movie featuring Spider-Man second hard reboot.
And you know, because I thought about it. Like, I knew we were going to talk about it, and I thought about like maybe I'm just trying to be nostalgic, but. Maybe I'll just be. I like Spider-Man 2 because of nostalgia and when I seen it and everything. But I thought about it and I was like, no. When I was watching Homecoming, it was like, okay, this is a good movie. I can't put this movie down. And like I said, going forward, the Spider-Man is in good hands.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
With this. So it's like, I have no problem with this particular script, but I can't right now. For me, there wasn't no emotional attachment. Oh, just Spider-Man stopping another villain. But with Spider-Man 2, it was like you could see like the torment that he's like. Oh, I found out Spider-Man 1. I found out that my best friend's dad is some psychopath, and the fact that I can't save him, and my best friend is mad at me, and the girl that I love, I can't tell her or be with her because I'll put her in danger. And then, like, Spider-Man 2 is like, I'm still conflicting with this, and you know, I got another bad guy, and I still can't tell the woman that I love because she's about to marry this person. I thought one of, like, the key moments of that Spider-Man is at the end of Spider-Man 1, where they're at the graveside, and Mary Jane tells Peter, like, hey, I love you, and he's like, we're just friends, and just walks away. And that's what always... When I read Spider-Man, that was always what Spider-Man had to go through. He had to make the hard decision in order to save the people that he loved, even if it meant none of him not being happy.
And
at point, it's get to a point.
I don't need emo Spider-Man.
Emo Spider-Man.
I want wisecracking Spider-Man.
Yeah. And I think like that moment too, where he's at the homecoming dance with his date. And he goes up to her and just tells her that he's got to go, and you know exactly what he's going to do. You know, up to that point, you know, you kind of on fence. Although we really kind of know that he is really going to go after the Vulture.
Mm-hmm.
But like that moment there, I think is just like, despite everything, he's going against like Tony Stark. He's going against, you know, his girlfriend's dad. Really, you know, against his girlfriend, even if you will. But ultimately, he's doing what he feels is right. So by all means, he's putting that above everything else, even above his own, you know, because he would probably be much happier if he would just stay at the homecoming dance with his date. You know, but he's conflicted, and...
I'm going to say something else about the original Spider-Man movies, and this might sound blasphemous, especially coming from me.
Oh.
I love Sam Raimi as a director when he's directing Evil Dead movies and Drag Me to Hell and everything else like that. But some of his techniques in the superhero genre I found distracting.
Oh, you mean the shock cam where people are like that?
Yeah, some of the quick cuts, some of the other things that I think work really well in those types of movies. And again, I liked it in The Quick and the Dead, so it works in old westerns too.
Yeah.
But
the only time they're like, I think worked kind of well in Spider-Man 2 is probably the Doc Ock's tentacles.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah.
That kind of made sense.
Sure. I mean, the original Spider-Mans have things going for them that the new one doesn't, like, what's his face?
Alfred Molina.
Well, I was going to go with Ash, but, and Macy Gray.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Macy Gray.
Well,
Ohio's own Macy Gray.
Ohio's own Macy Gray.
I think what else kind of bugs me about not just Spider-Man Homecoming, but kind of like there's just the Marvel movies kind of in general. It's kind of like, hey, Tony Stark is everywhere. Tony Stark is the guy who started everything. And it's kind of like, oh, not another Tony Stark. Oh, it's Tony Stark.
But it makes sense for that universe, I think, though, really. Because even, I mean, Spider-Man, you know, we're led to believe Spider-Man did stuff before Tony Stark.
Yeah.
You know, he's been Spider-Man.
Tony Stark just gave him a realistic way to have an outfit that the eyes move.
Yeah.
And that was for that right there. I want eyes that move for my Spider-Man, and there's no way a teenager's making that.
And the web fluid, I loved that there were actually web fluid.
Yeah, I like
yeah.
As opposed to the.
And that Peter made them originally.
And he made them originally today. And in fact, you see that one scene where he's making
some. Yes. So
and he's got the stash underneath the lockers.
Which is, I thought was
and which is, but I think there was that. And then what you just mentioned that we're presuming that he's been Spider-Man for a minute.
Well, they mentioned it in Civil War.
Yeah, because
there was YouTube videos of him saving people before Tony Stark went and found him.
Went and found and got his thing. But that means that he's only dealt with, like, maybe low-level criminals. So I'm trying to understand, at the end, what other people want to cut his neck open besides...
Well, did you notice the tattoo on that guy?
I know who the guy is. I understand. But, I mean, that was the first time you met him on the boat. So I'm just kind of like... Really, who else on the outside really wants to?
Well, think about his villain. Think about the cast of villains and how, for Spider-Man versus some of the other people, they're more localized villains who are just usually robbing. Sandman wasn't out to destroy the world like Dr. Doom or anything.
I understand that, but I'm just saying, like, we're not even talking about like the superpower villains. It's like, I don't think this Spider-Man has taken on anyone like the Kingpin Silvermane
not yet. No,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. So it's like, I don't want them to, for this next Spider-Man movie, to bring out anything of the Sinister Six. I think that's way too soon.
You know who I want more than anything in the world? What I would love? Kraven.
If done well, that would be amazing.
I think a Kraven villain in the movie would work, and then you can kind of lead into the Sinister Six. But it's like, who are you going to?
I don't know. I mean,
I don't really know if I want a Sinister Six movie.
I don't.
That's what they're that's what they're shooting for right now.
I mean, are they really though? Because they're saying that he's only supposed to do five more movies.
I think they're shooting
two of them are Infinity War movies, and then I think two other Spider-Man movies.
Yeah, but I think that's where they're going, because again, you know, Scorpion's like, there's people on the outside, and it's like, well, technically, who Spider-Man just getting started, so who what big wig really wants to take out Spider-Man when he's just getting started? He's not even got his costume yet.
Well,
he's just been walking around with a hoodie, so that's why I'm like,
really? I mean, it doesn't necessarily, it could be the Rose for all we know. Chameleon, Mysterio, it could have been the people who were inconvenienced by not getting the technology that he just was.
That's true. Yeah, weapons from the.
It could be just people that he doesn't know that he's crossing because they're connected. So, I don't think that suddenly they're going to turn around and be like, "Hey, look, it's the Green Goblin, and I hate you, Spider-Man," because whatever. I think that was just a nice way for them to set up Scorpion. I mean, honestly, that's all I thought.
That actor is amazing.
Nacho.
Nacho. So good in Better Call Saul.
Yeah.
I was like, oh man, so good.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm excited to see a Scorpion movie. I would like to see him being a villain in a Spider-Man movie. Because that's a Scorpion's actually one of my more favorite Spider-Man villains that I think never really got screen time.
How do we feel about I know how I feel, so I guess how do you all feel about MJ?
I don't really have an issue with it. I thought it's interesting that they went that route with it, and I kind of like that it's a different, like even the roster of characters. I know some people were complaining about the forced diversity in the film. I didn't see it that way at all.
It's New York City, for crying out loud.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I'm trying to go
Queens.
But even with Flash being like Indian and stuff, it works for that movie because
I mean, I'm not used to Flash not being the football star.
Yeah, me too.
But you know what? There's other kinds of bullies in this world, right?
Exactly.
So that's why I was trying. Yeah.
And he's like, you know, you're under the impression that Peter's at a school for gifted teens, so you're not going to have necessarily the football star at that type of school. Probably, you know.
Plus, so it gives him an excuse to be in scenes with them where there can be an academic challenge together. I guess
exactly, and they're more likely to interact than like the football guy.
So, yeah, I was kind of like, I thought Peter was in regular high school, but it looks like he's in a gifted high school and in this Flash. And the whole MJ thing anybody could be called MJ. It's not her name is Michelle, so anybody.
I'm gonna. You know what I would love to see out of that. You know, a few sequels down the road. First off, I'm fine with her being that version of MJ, but I want her to have red hair eventually. And when she becomes an actress, I want her stage name to be Mary Jane Watson. Michelle Jones.
Which would work, you know.
But, I mean, technically, is that really going to be Mary Jane? Is it just maybe, I mean, he's a sophomore.
That's cool.
Yeah, but how many times? I mean, let's just say the odds. What are the chances you're gonna date two MJs? And it's very clear she's interested in Peter Parker. It's very clear through her looks that when he's not noticing that she's giving him sideways glances and busting his balls because she likes him. So I don't think they necessarily have to name her Mary Jane Watson, but I just think it would be a nice nod to the comics to eventually go there.
That would be interesting.
Yeah. But Ned
Leeds. He's great.
Yeah. Oh, it's awesome.
Watching porn.
Yeah.
Is that like the standard now? You if you have a superhero best friend, you're the behind the computer guy.
Well, that was the joke. Yeah, that's hilarious.
It's like, hey, I'm the behind the computer guy.
The thing that I would like too that like Marvel did with this movie is just how like seamlessly they ingrained it into that whole Marvel Cinematic Universe. And, like right in the beginning, you see the tie into the first Avengers film, where they introduce Michael Keaton's character, you know, and then they just kind of mix it all in there, and just like little things where. The videos that have Captain America, the public service announcements, if you will, I thought that's hilarious.
Oh my gosh, that last Captain America one was. My gosh.
How many patience you got?
I like how they did Shocker.
Yeah.
Both of them. I love that he shot. I was like, I thought that was the answer.
Yeah, right.
Well, it looks like you're the Shocker now.
Right. And that's what I liked about about the Vulture. He was just a guy trying to
take care of his family. And it was kind of,
more vague. The whole I gotta take care of my family thing. But it's like, well, dude, you've seen the house that you're in? I mean, you're on. You probably took your family
to somehow sustain that lifestyle, though.
Well, I was like, I just found it kind of weird that it wasn't. I think I was looking for maybe something deeper. I think maybe I thought that maybe his wife had some sort of disease, or he was taking care of somebody that wasn't well, so that's why he had to keep raising money. Because once you've seen the house, you're like, oh, this is. your house, so you're talking about one more big score, but it's kind of like, well, dude, I mean...
What they did with him was, first off, they introduced Damage Incorporated to the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yes. Which, again, was cool, just because, you know, they kind of referenced them before, but
what they did was, the idea was is to try to make you feel for him in that, you know, he's losing contracts that he got because of these superheroes, so why wouldn't they take the technology they could and use it to make money? And
I mean,
and to be honest, you know, he's got his guys out there robbing ATMs or whatever with the technology and stuff, but he's more, what's he doing that's really wrong? He's stealing technology that doesn't belong to the people who have it to begin with.
Right.
Yeah.
He's stealing that and then selling it to criminals. So yeah, that's wrong, but Tony Stark makes weapons and sells, or used to, and sells them to bad people.
Sells them to people. Which
they brought up. And he made him a kind of a relatable villain, really.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Totally did, you know.
I had read a spoiler that was incorrect before the movie that he was, I don't know how you say her name, Zendaya. That he was Zendaya's father.
Oh.
So I was surprised when he answered the door, but I wasn't shocked, I guess. Whereas my wife was shocked.
Oh, they did the whole switcheroo. It's like, oh, it's two black women?
Well,
I have Peter Parker.
My initial thought was, he already knows he's Spider-Man. How does he know that he's Spider-Man?
Kind of what my wife was thinking was, oh my gosh, the Vulture got there first and is answering the door.
But then, like, you know, once you find, and then just.
But
I knew that set, because I was like, I guess watching so many movies, I'm like, I kind of knew that, okay, he's walking up to the door, and it's like, oh, it's set up as one of those scenes where, hey, we're looking at each other like, hey, you.
Of Michael Keaton piecing together in the car that Peter Parker was Spider-Man was just... through without just asking some questions and watching him change just brilliant acting. Michael Keaton is fantastic, and I just watched the original Batman, the 1989 Batman, so not the original Batman, and it is not aging well.
Really? Yeah. I guess I can count on that, but yeah, Michael Keaton, hats off to him for that performance. I thought, you know, and I liked Alfred Molina. I didn't really care too much for the Green Goblin as a villain in the Spider-Man movie. I still like those movies a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are some of my favorite superhero films. I love the Doc Ock, though.
Yeah, Spider-Man 2, a good long while, was my favorite comic book movie until Marvel started really hitting stride with the Captain America movies and Guardians of the Galaxy. I thought Spider-Man 2 was great.
Yeah.
I would probably put Avengers over Spider-Man 2 overall.
I probably would.
The first one. Yeah. But the second one, I would probably put Spider-Man 2 over it.
I probably would do that too, yeah.
So what would be your top three?
Of the Spider-Man?
Of the Marvel movies in general.
I hate to say this, because if you were to say, I don't know. If you... First instinct for me to say this, and again, if you're talking to 12-year-old me and you said, what's your favorite three Marvel movies going to be? It would not be two Captain America movies and Guardians of the Galaxy.
Okay.
I would not have said that ever as a kid, because whatever. But yeah, probably the Civil War and Winter Soldier and Guardians of the Galaxy.
I think Civil War is an awesome movie. As a movie, I think Winter Soldier is better.
I do too.
Because the story is
I think this Winter Soldier is a great story.
Yeah, it doesn't even have to be superhero characters. It just happens to be a good story that has Captain America in it.
Right.
But I would say those two probably are really high on my list. And I think the first Avengers movie, just because it's the first, because I really, going in that movie, my expectations were a little bit low because we'd never, at that point, we'd never really seen a movie that had that many superhero characters in it at one time that was done well.
Was different X-Men.
But yeah, but I mean,
they're all separate. Yeah. There's, Avengers were separate heroes coming all together.
All together, yeah. X-Men. And like the X-Men movies, I mean, really, most of those are kind of like, it's the Wolverine show.
Oh.
Kind of, you know.
That was, I like Logan too, but yeah. It's not.
But like the Avengers, I think, was the first time where they showed like an ensemble cast. And each hero got a substantial amount of screen time.
Right.
And it worked well. And then that one scene where you see all of them working together, fighting all of the aliens.
Yeah.
You know, they just do that one pants shot where they show, like, Hawkeye shooting an arrow. You see Thor hammer in the thing that Hulk smashes into the one giant alien. And that's just an awesome sequence. I think it's really good. But Spider-Man Homecoming is really up there for me, probably, just because it was, I think I enjoyed it more the second time than the first time.
Okay.
Actually, because it's just a fun movie to watch, I think. And I think what they did with it, they kind of catered the film to everybody. They had, you know, the teenage audience in there because they had teenagers that felt like teenagers. As opposed to like the 30-year-old being in the movie or whatever.
I absolutely love what Kevin Smith had to say about this. He said that the thing that took him out of Spider-Man 2 was the fact that you've got the train scene that is so absolutely dramatic.
Oh yeah.
And they afterwards he's passed out from the exertion and they're carrying him Christ-like across the things and his mask is removed. And one of them says, he's just a kid. And he's not. There's no way you would look at Tobey Maguire and go, he's just a kid.
Yeah.
So it took him out of the scene. So, and I never really thought about it. It didn't take me out of the scene at the time.
It didn't take me out of the scene. But I never thought of him as being a young
it was more
Spider-Man either. Really.
I mean, no, it was more college. I looked at it more college.
But even him as a college student might be stretching just a little bit.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, he was in his 30s by then.
Well, yeah. We have a lot of movie people in their 30s playing teenagers. I mean,
oh, I know, but I'm just saying.
It's like, it's not like he looks like, oh, he looks 30. I'm like.
And every horror movie has a 20-something cast that plays all
teenagers. So that's why I'm like,
you gotta somehow make those nude scenes.
I just.
Lawful.
I guess I'm not as. I understood that.
I didn't like Tobey Maguire as Peter Parker. That was my thing. Is that he wasn't the Peter Parker that I read as a kid. He was something else. And even Spider-Man, even when they were doing the Spider-Man No More, that was later Peter Parker. I wanted high school Peter Parker. I wanted the one that I watched as a kid in the cartoon and that I first read in the comic books. And the stories that I would read as a kid had to do with a teenager who was always picked on, who suddenly got powers and still pretended to be weak, who eventually became the photographer at the Daily Bugle, because those were the stories that I first got from Spider-Man, which I barely got in the first movie, and then all of a sudden was he even a college student still?
He was a college student in Spider-Man.
In the first one,
he was in high school.
First one, he was the 30-year-old high school student. And the second one, he was the 32-year-old college student. And then, I don't know how old he actually was.
With, like, Spider-Man Homecoming, the movie is, like, a good mix of, like, showcasing, like, a high school teenager movie. Like, because, like, you could probably take elements of Spider-Man out of the film and you still have like a good basic teenage drama, if you will, because of everything that's going on in that, because there's just a lot of, you know, his interaction with the students and everything else, and then like them having, I think, making the homecoming dance having like an 80s thing is totally catering to people like our age.
Like the John Hughes type things?
Exactly, exactly. I mean, even the nods that they have to like Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
I mean,
you see those throughout the...
And don't get me wrong. If I'm ranking Spider-Man movies in order that I like them, I go Homecoming, Spider-Man 2, Spider-Man 1, Amazing... I haven't seen the second Amazing Spider-Man movie. Amazing Spider-Man, the first one, and then...
I would
mine would be different. Mine would be Spider-Man 2, Spider-Man, Spider-Man Homecoming, Amazing Spider-Man 2, and then Amazing Spider-Man. That's all of them, right? Then Spider-Man 3, because that's just completely
crazy. Yeah, that movie's really bad.
But I don't ever get the urge to watch the original Spider-Man movie.
Yeah, I don't either, because...
If it's on TV, I will flip past it. If Spider-Man 2 is on, I will watch it.
I'll watch it, Paul. Yeah. See it. I'm different. That's how I feel, kind of feel about Spider-Man Homecoming. It's like, if it's on, then maybe I'll turn it back on. But it's like, it's not a... Like I said, it's not a bad movie. I'm not putting it down or anything.
Yeah.
I just... That's just how I feel about it. It's like, okay, just another superhero movie. And like I said, if they keep with this formula for the next one, then yeah, it's clearly going to surpass Spider-Man 2.
I was worried they were going to have too much Iron Man.
They didn't, and I was surprised by that, because I mean, even the scene of them flying through the city was never actually in the movie.
Yeah, well, then there's even that comment that he had when he was fighting the villains that were dressed up as the Avengers. He's like, "Hey, you guys aren't the Avengers." That's like in the trailer, but he didn't really say that exact statement in the movie either. He's like, Hulk gives it away. He never says that. And that's...
Yeah, they might have cut it down for pacing.
Yeah.
I like Tony Stark as the absentee father.
I like that too.
I thought it was kind of interesting twist to have Peter Parker seeking a father figure.
Yeah. Well, and even too, like, with Tony being so mad at Spider-Man doing more than he feels he should be doing. Makes sense, because...
Got lots of Happy Hogan.
Yeah.
And randomly returning Gwyneth Pepper Potts.
Yeah. Which I was kind of surprised to see that at the end as well.
I thought they were taking a break.
Well, am I the only one, though, that kind of just shaking his head that Tony Stark employed a 15-year-old to take on seasoned superheroes?
Well, I think he just knew that he wasn't really in any real danger. He knew that Captain America was not going to, like...
slice his throat.
Yeah.
But
Tony Stark says it in the movie. Yeah. He's like, if Captain America wanted to take you out, he would have.
Right, I understand that. But again, still, it's like, hey, kid, you know what? I just met you. I bought you a suit. We're going to take on, half of the Avengers.
Now, you have to look at it this way. Imagine that you are a businessman. You're looking for people with a specific set of work skills, and there's not a whole lot of superheroes out there. And you can't bring the supervillains in, because then all of a sudden you're dealing with dead bodies.
Right.
So,
again,
Thor wasn't available. The Hulk wasn't available.
And I mean, he's a kid, but he's a kid. They can lift up cars and stuff.
But y'all think that's okay? That's what I'm like. This is why Spider-Man in this movie like wasn't really established. It was like, oh, it's a friendly this guy in a spider suit called Spider-Man, but he didn't have the Spider-Man suit. He just had the hoodie
and
it's kind of like if Peter Parker would have made his Spider-Man suit, then it would have been kind of like more of, oh, that Spider-Man, then he would have been kind of more established as this local hero. It was just more of this kid in the hoodie, and he's like, oh, you can call me Spider-Man. And
That's where
I get. Yeah, but I mean, in a realistic standpoint, I think that makes more sense.
I always used to joke about this long before this movie is that I will buy that there are radioactive spiders that give kids powers. Yeah. I will buy that a scientific student is able to make web fluid and use it, because I was talking about the comic books. But I don't buy that same student who happens to be a scientist and gets bit is also an amazing yeah.
Well, here's the thing, because it was just him and his Aunt May. And what did Aunt May do for a job? Really, do we even know what Aunt May did for a job after Uncle Ben died?
Prepared Uncle Ben.
So basically, they didn't really have much money. So I was thinking to the point of the fact that, you know, hey. They got Peter when he was young. They showed him how to sew and everything, and not make all of his clothes, but at least, you know, since he got beat up a lot, would always stitch up his jeans because he got pushed down a lot. It's like, okay, you keep getting pushed down a lot.
I can't even draw those webs straight on the Spider-Man outfit.
I think it works well in a comic book, but like when you see it on, you know, it has to be that type of costume that they made in the movie, I think.
I don't know.
Because it doesn't make sense otherwise.
Because
where is it getting the visors? I mean, that's something you have to custom.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's
I mean, I wouldn't know.
There's lots of things that don't make sense as we start to not just with Spider-Man.
Yeah.
We start like you don't. Really you need to tell me that
really
that
dissect.
Yeah, you can't pick up a hammer. I mean,
No, that's magic. let's speak more realistically. Like, you don't think those companies in the other countries that are making all the batarangs haven't figured out the company that's purchasing them is supplying?
Surprise, yeah.
Maybe you can get those on eBay in the Batman universe. Yeah, I'm just saying. A black market for batarangs. I'd buy one. No, but I think it makes more sense than the Spider-Man. I'm a classic fan of the Spider-Man character too, but like for that take on the Spider-Man character. It makes sense, I think, for that universe and for them, how they push him into the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
I can agree with that.
You know,
I think both universes, you can like say, okay, that fits in that universe.
Yeah.
Because I think sometimes people are like, well, you know, with Spider-Man, it just don't fit, but this one feels more real. It's kind of like, they're two different universes. I think that's what we got to think about it as.
Yeah.
So I like that they put the Ramones in there.
Yeah, I like that too.
That's first off, because the Ramones did the Spider-Man song.
That's right.
And secondly, they're from Queens.
There you go.
All right, have we talked enough about Spider-Man Homecoming?
I have, because we've been gone for a good chunk of time. I don't know. What else is on the list, Sam?
Oh, keeper of the list.
We could talk about the... Game of Thrones.
The Game of Thrones, you say?
Game of Thrones.
When we talk about the Game of Thrones, you either win or die. So,
yeah.
Whatever arguments you're about to bring, you better bring them hard or I'm killing you.
All I gotta say is that opening sequence of the premiere of this season.
The North remembers.
Yes. The most satisfying few minutes on TV I've ever seen, I think. Pretty much.
Yeah.
You know.
Should have been the North dismembers, am I right?
Right? Yeah. my only fear, though, is that they're just lulling me into a false sense of security where something good happened, and now the next episode something horrible is going to happen.
Well, of course. You know, something horrible is going to happen.
Because it's Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
You know, that show has made me want to stop watching it, I think, at least four or five times.
Oh, not, not me. I've never had that.
I've never had that urge.
Man, I'm with Sam on this one.
I've never had that.
There's never been a time where I was angry. I watch it with delight, even when the terrible things happen.
Yeah.
Red Wedding, I'm like, oh, yes.
I was like,
oh, of course they did this. Why would they not?
I like, can't wait for the next episode. It's like episode 9. You're like, okay, this is the big one.
Yeah.
The Viper versus the Mountain thing was the one that's the one that probably did it the most for me. Because even the way that they cut the scene,
that was the first time that I was ahead in the books for a major scene.
Oh, was it really?
Yeah. So when I was reading the book, I actually read it and I went, and I turned back to make sure I was reading this correctly, because it didn't seem like that was what was being set up at all by what was being said. And I went, oh gosh, all right. But the television show really brought that character to life. I cared more about that character because of the television show than I did in the book.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah, because I thought the character was pretty awesome.
Oberyn, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And they made me look up, is it physically possible for a human, even a strong human, to crush a human skull? I Googled that.
Yeah?
And we'd find out.
That is not. So it just made me more mad. I gouged it, of course, but...
Lipton. Press?
Well, somebody's head.
Okay, so let's just talk about this. The dude that plays the Mountain.
Yeah, oh, I know. He's
is the, like, world's fourth strongest man.
Yeah. Well, he even broke that, was like a Norse legendary test of strength where moving a longboat or something with his own sheer strength. I mean, the guy is a beast.
His name's Half-Thor.
Yeah.
I mean, for crying out loud.
He's almost a full Thor.
He's, yeah. I mean.
If he's a full Thor, maybe.
That dude is 6'9", I believe.
Yeah.
And weighs like 360 pounds or some such nonsense.
Yeah.
He's a giant beast of a man. And the actor is not as strong as the character is supposed to be. So I'm going with the skull can be crushed from the inside. Putting his weight on him in a fully armored man.
Yeah, I'm with Chris on
it. I mean, a windshield can crush a human skull. I mean,
that doesn't, you know, you're not just pushing weight down. You probably have to require.
People break bricks all the time.
Yeah, but a brick is a little different.
Because
because one of the strongest shapes is like
the circle.
A circle. Because, you know, a cylinder is actually the strongest because you push straight down. It evenly distributes the force out.
Yeah, you know that trick with the egg? Where you say, oh, put this in the egg. We did that and I broke that egg right up. That was the least fun experiment I've ever seen. Here, did you know that you can't, it might have been slightly cracked or something and I didn't know, but.
I mean, a skull can be crushed from what I read, but from human force, like that it said the way that it was crushed.
So, out of curiosity, which scientific site has tested this theory?
There was like a whole. I think there was.
I want this MythBusters.
I know. I can't, man. Because when I looked it up, it was like immediately after.
And here's the other thing.
But I mean, it is a work of fiction. So
let's
we'll
look.
Stretch your imagination.
I would have to. I would have to rewatch the scene. But was there ever a time that there was head trauma to Oberyn during the fight scene? Did he... Because...
He trips him. He falls on us.
And he falls down, and a simple fall shouldn't have been enough for the giant mountain in armor to stand up and then be able to do all that stuff. So when he tripped him, maybe he hit his head and cracked his skull, and so now you're dealing with a skull that's already the structural integrity is already damaged.
I thought there was like a few punches in before he started pulling on his eye.
Man, there's a lot of things going on in here, from metal, from gauntleted fists.
I think pretty much he just trips him and rolls over on top of him, grabs his head, his eyes go first because he's screaming.
Yeah,
and then pop.
So, but when he tripped him, did he land on his spine? Or did he land on his head?
I think he landed on his back.
So,
he's
and he's not trained as a professional wrestler, so he doesn't know to tuck his head.
But he's a trained fighter.
Yeah.
But also, once he gets into the eyes, I mean, you got those thumbs in the eyes, and then if you're pressing, then you are already...
Yeah, but it's not a cantaloupe. We're talking about a human skull.
I have crushed human skulls like cantaloupes. Never mind. Wow. No statute of limitations. I'm shutting up.
But you don't have a problem with the dragons.
That's why I did this.
You don't.
It is a work of fantasy.
You don't have a problem with the 2-ton dragons with.
And he's a Frankenstein monster now. Right. So like that, I accept.
Okay, I'm just like
a Frankenstein monster can crush a skull. At the time, he wasn't a Frankenstein monster. He was just a giant, muscly guy.
Okay, so out of curiosity, were the tests done, ever on Westerosi skulls?
That's true. Maybe Westeros.
Do we even know, the specific gravity of Westeros?
Right.
Yeah.
People could be strong. Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of factors we don't know.
Are their hearts on the right side, the left side?
Maybe Oberon's people will have a bone deficiency that we're unaware of.
Has anyone read the books?
No.
I read one.
Can I tell you the creepiest thing about the books?
What's that?
Jon Snow's like 13.
What?
Like, they're all
young.
Young. Like, Arya, I think in the first book was like 8 or 9, right?
I heard that about Arya.
Like, Sansa's like 14 or 15, I think.
Borderline creepy.
But then what I tell myself is that what are the chances that it takes 365 days to cycle around the star? And maybe they measure years differently. They certainly measure seasons differently. They can have,
that's true. Yeah.
So maybe they measure years in a different time. And so 14 is more like,
we can hope.
We can hope.
George R. R. Martin, don't be a creep.
Yeah. Ed Sheeran.
Yes, yes.
I don't understand.
The internet exploded. Yeah, who cares?
Yeah, I know.
Right. I was like, this Ed Sheeran. I was like, happy for him. He's in Game of Thrones.
I will say that it took me a little bit out of the scene, a little bit. Ed Sheeran. Okay. I'm not, but like, the internet.
Really?
Whoa.
That's what I read.
I know.
Like, nobody's
sitting around going, oh my gosh, Jean Grey is one of the Starks. Or a better thing was, oh my
God. I know.
Oh my gosh, the dude from Fellowship of the Ring has a bunch of kids in this. No one cares about that. No. The dude from The Full Monty is Robert Baratheon.
Yeah. Right, so it was just
so.
Like,
so I get it. They had him sing, and it was slightly, distracting.
I think that's what it is.
But for crying out loud, he was singing a song from Game of Thrones. It wasn't like he was.
My guess is, because I didn't know that until you mentioned that it was a song
from Game of Thrones. Specifically, someone who was blackmailing Tyrion about Shay.
Yeah, seeing that makes that scene that much cooler.
Yeah,
it's like, it really does.
Someone said that you might want to start reading into some things more. So they haven't really mentioned this, but they mentioned part of this. So Cersei went to see a soothsayer, that witch in the woods, that told her that all of her children would die. Then one day she would be a queen, but all of her children would die, whatever. They don't mention this, I don't think, on the show. They mention it in the book. It says that she will die by the hands of the Valonqar, which is what's the language? Valyrian. High Valyrian for the younger brother. And so she spent her entire life thinking that Tyrion was going to kill her. And so that goes into why she hated Tyrion so much. But it's also should be noted that she has another brother who is a younger brother by a minute or two, who that song talks about hands of gold. And he literally has a hand of gold.
Yeah.
So perhaps he will be the one. Jamie will be the one that kills, and not Tyrion.
I can kind of even see that happen just from their interaction in that first episode of the season too, because you clearly see that Cersei seems to have like a whole other
yeah.
Point of view as to how to move forward.
With it's been strongly hinted that Tyrion is a Targaryen in the books as well.
Oh, really?
They haven't said it. Yeah. It was one of the pocket theories, like, but the other pocket theory was that Jon Snow was Targaryen, and that came out to be true. But I kind of hope that Tyrion is.
What about giant zombie White Walker? I thought that was
kind of awesome. I worried that that would be the case.
Well, I mean, the,
it was awesome, but I worried for the sake of our heroes.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
Yeah. It makes sense.
Oh, it does make sense.
I want to say one other thing about Ed Sheeran. Because I want to quote him. Because he quit Twitter right around the same time that that episode came out. Everyone thought it was because of Game of Thrones.
And it's not because
he has said, last I'll say on this, I came off Twitter because I was always intending to come off Twitter. Had nothing to do with what people said about my Game of Thrones cameo. Because I'm in Game of Thrones. Why the hell would I worry about what people thought about
that? That's what I'm talking about.
It's clearly effing awesome. Timing was just a coincidence, but believe what you want. Here's an unrelated picture of me and my wonderful manager riding off into the sunset together. That was... Yeah. So.
See? Exactly.
I only have one problem with Ed Sheeran. And it's the inability to say the word sixth. Because you will never unhear it if you listen to that song about the photograph. At the end, he says... I'll remember when you kissed me, whatever, underneath the lamppost down on 6th Street.
Yeah.
So, try to unhear that.
Oh, 6th Street.
6th Street. 6th
Street. Yeah. I mean, even though, like, it did kind of break me out of the...
You get freaked out easily.
Oh, man, because it's like, you're hearing beautiful singing in a Game of Thrones... episode. That doesn't happen very often. I mean,
are you kidding?
Wait, no. I don't think it happens very often. Not by Ed Sheeran.
Well, no.
Not by Ed Sheeran.
Not by a notable pop star.
I mean, there's a reason that I know the lyrics to the Lannister theme song.
It was never sung by Lady Gaga.
No, but you know who it was sung by, amazingly?
Who's that?
Serj Tankian. From System of a Down?
Not on an episode.
No. But in the awesome. There was a tour of the Game of Thrones orchestra, and they were doing that song in Los Angeles, and he came out and sang it, and it was awesome.
That would be awesome. Yeah. But, like I said,
what else happened
I didn't
in that
really
episode?
Have any issues with
Ed Sheeran. I like the strong shade that Sansa threw at Littlefinger.
Yeah, that was, and Sansa has really started to come into her own.
Yeah,
like, you know, these last two seasons probably, really, because it started to happen, I think, last season. I think. Right?
Yeah. They did weird things with their characters there for a little bit.
Yeah.
So predictions, how's this wrapping up? We have 12 episodes left.
Yeah. There's got to be some more horrible things that are going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, at this point, it's just like, who lives, who dies?
I'm gonna make this prediction. I say Daenerys lives, Jon Snow lives, and Tyrion lives. Everybody else is up for grabs.
Yeah.
In the original pitch for the show, he talked about those three people as being the main characters. But then in the actual books, there's a whole lot of main characters.
I really like the Arya character.
I
fear that she's probably my favorite character just because her character arc is just pretty interesting, really. Just to how she's developed and how much of a badass she's become.
What if she kills Jaime and then kills Cersei as Jaime? I'm just thinking out loud.
Yeah, that would help things work out. Yeah, that'd be interesting.
Interesting.
What else happened in that episode? Anything?
Yeah, I'm trying to think.
I mean, Daenerys came home.
To her
castle.
Yeah.
That the one true king, what's his face? Stannis the Manus.
Okay.
Had been using for a while.
Yeah.
Finally, she's where she spent seven seasons trying to get.
Yeah, yeah. It's the longest road trip ever.
And suddenly, I was really charmed by Euron Greyjoy out of nowhere. hated the character. This is dumb. This is stupid. Oh, hey, look. Hey, he's pretty awesome now. Two good hands.
Yeah, it's like, oh, she did that.
All right, what's next on
the... Oh, what's his name? Two that was in the cell at... The...
Oh. Grayscale.
Yeah.
Grayscale, yeah.
That was kind of...
Marmont. Yeah. Jorah Marmont.
I will always like that.
How about his... I don't know how she's related exactly.
Cousin.
Niece or cousin or whatever.
Yeah.
Lady Mormont, who's the...
Oh, yeah.
Fattest ass 12-year-old that ever existed.
I know, man. She plays
the
character so well.
My gosh.
Well, yeah.
Someone was like, if she had three dragons, this show would have lasted one season.
That's awesome. That is awesome.
This game would have been over.
Yeah.
This game is over.
I cast that so well.
Yeah. I'm really interested to see what happens. Couple episodes, because it just feels like there's
got
to be a lot of stuff
that's. You gotta figure that every episode is going to be like nonstop, right? Yeah, because
now, who do you think Greyjoy meant by getting her a gift when he says, "Oh, you don't have to trust me; I'll bring gifts to prove my loyalty."
I don't know. Yeah, that's a good point. I don't know. I was thinking that he meant Tyrion.
I got,
but I don't know how you'd get a hold of Tyrion. I don't know how he would even know where Tyrion.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Everything's farther along than the books at this point, so I can't even read clues. Yeah. I read an interesting theory that... I won't even go into it. But it's too long to talk about, so I'm not going to. We've already talked long enough about Game of Thrones. Maybe some other time I'll bring it up.
In the next episode... All right, Sam.
All right. The next topic is the 13th Doctor.
13th Doctor. I don't have a lot to say because, like I said, I don't watch a whole lot of Doctor Who, but for the first time, we have a female Doctor.
Yeah. I think it'll be interesting to see what they do on it.
Yeah.
I know the internet is, you know...
Being the internet.
Yeah, being the internet.
Which is, they seem to be kind of split up, but that seems to be pretty positive overall.
I think so. I think there's some people, you know, and there always will be some people that, change, you know. But,
right.
I'm kind of curious to see what to do. Because it's something new that they haven't done before.
Screw them.
Yeah.
The people who feel that way, not the doctors.
Not the doctors.
But, yeah, I don't know.
I got a problem.
I just hope the writing's good.
Yeah.
Hope so happens. That's our opinion about.
And if the writing is good, I hope the ratings stay good and that people don't turn off because of that. Because don't be dicks.
Right.
I am interested when the transformation actually happens. The whole reaction. Wait a minute. What's going on here? This what?
These weren't here before.
What happened to this? You know. So that would be interesting.
In this episode, the doctor just stares in the mirror for an hour.
What do I use this for? All right. Meanwhile, the Inhuman trailer.
Oh yes, they showed a new Inhuman trailer. You guys seen it?
No.
Am I the only one that's seen it?
Yep.
You are the only one.
I am the only one that's seen it.
But I can make things up and talk about it if you'd like.
Let's do that then.
All right.
When
Lockjaw ate that dude, it was crazy.
Oh my gosh. I never thought they were going to go that
I know.
With Lockjaw.
My gosh.
Yeah.
My mind automatically went to terrible places that I don't know what you're going to say.
No, but I think what they've done with the trailer, like the first initial trailer, I think that we got to saw the first teaser.
Yeah.
I kind of looked a little shaky as far as,
you know, completely underwhelmed by it, and I was thinking, "Oh my gosh, this looks like it's going to be awful."
Yeah. But now I'm like kind of now it looks like they put a little bit more polish on it. It looks like we see Medusa's hair do stuff.
Okay.
Do Medusa hair stuff, I guess. We see more Lockjaw, which if they just had a whole show about Lockjaw, I think it'd be awesome.
Yeah.
I just want to see a teleporting dog.
With a pitchfork on his head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That I'd pay to watch that.
Yeah.
No, it just it looks a lot better, and it has gotten me a little bit more excited about it.
Okay.
So I'm going to give it more of a chance than I initially, because I was concerned about it. Because I was like,
oh. I'll watch it.
Yeah.
Just to see.
They have a really good.
I have a theme
song associated with the.
Well, yeah, what's that?
We're only human, after all. So we have that.
Who sings that? Is that the Human League?
It's somebody else doing it.
Oh.
It's only human after
all. No, it's
We're only human, like born to make mistakes, that one?
That one.
Oh gosh, now I'm trying to think of
only human after all. That one?
Because it's totally completely different. I'm trying to think of which one it is. I mean, once you hear it, it's recognizable, but it's slowing down.
It's probably
the whole way. Either way, it fits because they're talking about Inhumans. There's a whole bunch of songs that reference being a human. Weird.
Yeah. But wait, they're Inhuman. So
exactly.
So why would they sing we're only human whenever that's clearly not the case?
You have to see the
trailer.
Because it kind of. It works.
Okay.
It works, I think. I liked it.
He liked it.
I liked it.
All right.
Is it Rag and Bones?
I don't know. Let's just play the trailer.
Exclusive.
Exclusive. Trailer exclusive.
Even though if you have the internet, you can see it too.
That's right. You also must have some sort of internet access if you are listening to this podcast. I guess while I'm looking this up, we'll also talk about, because I just saw this on here too, the new Korean Defenders trailer. You guys see this?
Mm-mm.
No.
Oh, that's awesome too. Because okay. It's actually, the whole thing's like narrated by Stan Lee.
Okay.
And I don't know why they didn't. There we go.
Oh, that's
Rag and Bone Man.
Yeah.
I'm actually watching the music video for it.
See, there you go. Okay, there you go. Yeah. The Stan Lee trailer, like he's talking about each of the defenders. He's like in a car riding.
I'd heard that.
Oh, it's awesome. It's so good. And then at the very end, they have the Punisher show up and he's like, says something along the lines of, I just got here just in time. So it's just like, oh, so the Punisher is going to be in the Defenders too. So
they showed that in some of the first scenes from the Punisher television show.
Oh, did they?
Today at San Diego Comic Con. Apparently, it was just a whole lot of shooting. So, makes sense.
Yeah, makes sense. Yeah.
What, no hugging?
No teddy bears. No. You know.
Well, if we're talking about trailers, they also showed the Walking Dead trailer for season 8 today.
Yeah.
And I'm the only one that saw it. I just want to say that it starts with a dark room.
All right.
And Negan saying, you wearing your shitting pants?
Oh!
I hope you're wearing your shitting pants.
Wow.
Because you are going to shit your pants. And it turns in that he's in a darkened room with Father Gabriel.
Interesting.
Or at least the trailer made it seem that way. Mm-hmm. That might just be...
Trailers being trailers. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like, when I say a trailer, it's like 6 minutes long.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
And the final scene, I have no idea what it means.
We're out. It's weird. Check this out.
Do you guys read any stuff about the Infinity War stuff that's kind of been sneak peeked at?
I read Spider-Man was in the Iron Man costume that they showed at the end of the movie.
Yeah, there's that, and they talk. I guess there's a bunch of interaction between. It's a big long thing. I can't remember it all off the top of my head. But I guess the initial response from people is everyone saying it's way more amazing than they thought it would be.
Hmm.
So that sounds way positive. And I think if anybody can pull it off, the Russo brothers can probably pull it off.
My friends, the Russo brothers!
Right? That's what I'm saying. Name dropping. Yeah.
But, Sam and the Russos go way back.
We go way
that's
back.
That's right.
Check me out on my Facebook page.
But no, it's yeah, that guy gets me kind of excited. And they had Thanos has a whole team that's
yes. Which
I forget what they called them.
Oh, I'm trying to remember what they are, but they were featured in the most recent incarnations of the Avengers, the new Avengers.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
They were.
They're all basically like his offspring, aren't they? Isn't it something like that?
No, they were.
That's what I thought it was, anyways.
They were.
No, actually, aliens. He's actually followed by the offspring.
The offspring.
Yes. Come on,
you gotta keep them separated.
Yes.
No, yeah, they were different aliens. From different
because
parts.
If nothing else, Thanos is pretty fly for a purple guy.
Wow.
Where do you go? Nobody knows.
Nobody. Yeah. No. So I'm kind of excited about that movie too. And I guess there's supposed to be a pretty interesting Hulk arc that's supposed to start, I guess, in the third Thor film. It's supposed to lead into Infinity War.
Okay.
Where it's supposed to change the character kind of dramatically, so
they said that a lot of Thor Ragnarok is going to change things.
Things, yeah, yeah.
Which I can only hope is through Beta Ray Bill. It's not going to happen.
Yeah. That would be so awesome if they did that. That would be really cool. Yeah. All right, anything else on that list?
That is all for that. Our next,
In a World, where Shia LaBeouf.
Oh,
goes completely crazy.
Oh,
oh yes.
I forgot we were going to look this up. Hold on.
Rick, Shia LaBeouf stuff is going on.
Where's Shia LaBeouf?
Shia LaBeouf.
Just went completely mad.
Yeah.
In a world where Shia LaBeouf drinks too much. Some slurs.
Yeah. So he was at a bowling alley. Let me pull this up.
That's pretty shocking. Shia LaBeouf bowls. I would not have expected that.
No, this is not what I'm talking about. This is where he called someone a racist for. He called a bartender a racist because he had problems. So hold on.
Whenever I have a problem with somebody. Immediately go to racist.
Yeah.
that's the first thought that comes out of my head.
Exactly.
I mean, I guess there might be. I don't know.
On July 8th.
July 8th.
The Beef was arrested around 4 a.m. A passerby did not agree to give him a cigarette, and so as he got angry, he became disorderly, using profanities, vulgar language in front of the women and children present. The police statement continues.
How many women and children are present at 4 in the morning?
Well, you know.
All of them.
Matchbox Bunny is like, it's 3 a.m. He's lonely, so.
Yeah. It was 4 a.m. and LaBeouf was lonely and women and children were there. I don't know. He was told to leave the area and refused, becoming aggressive towards the officer. When the officer attempted to place LaBeouf under arrest, LaBeouf ran to a nearby hotel. He was arrested in the hotel lobby where his disorderly behavior continued. There is video. An irate LaBeouf tells one of the arresting officers, who is black, you got a president. I'm going to swear here, just so you know, because I'm quoting LaBeouf. You got a president that don't give a fuck about you, and you're stuck in a police force that doesn't give a fuck about you. You want to arrest white people who give a fuck? Who ask for cigarettes? Later he adds, I've got more millionaire lawyers than you know what to do with, you stupid bitch. And if you actually hear the video, the audio, it is hilarious. It is him going bitch a whole lot at these guys. It is absolutely hilarious. And then
it doesn't get shot. So that's
Then he tells one of the white officers, he's like, "You're going to hell, bitch." And then he turns to the black officer and says, "You're really going to hell." And the white officer says, "Why is he really going to hell?" And he goes, "Because he's black."
Boom!
Oh, my gosh.
Boom!
Yeah, I don't even know.
I don't know.
Yeah. I guess he's never going to be in that next Indiana Jones film.
No.
After this, there's not going to be any more mud.
No, there's not going to be any more mud.
I feel like he's going to be in the next Lethal Weapon with Mel Gibson, though.
That would be... And like, he's Mel Gibson's son.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that... That would be great. Actually.
That would be absolutely fantastic. Yeah. And the way you find out is because he calls a police officer sugar tits.
Well, maybe there might be a...
Or they reenact that with him and Danny Glover.
Yeah.
Where he goes, "You're going to hell.
You're really going to hell.
We talking about Riggs.
Wait, his name's Riggs too? Wait a minute.
Or Who's Your Daddy?
I hope that happens.
Who's Your Daddy 3? You'll have Mark Wahlberg, Mel Gibson, and Shia LaBeouf in Who's Your Daddy Part 3. So they all have history with
Blatant racism.
So yeah. There you go. There's your premise right there.
Wow.
You're welcome, Hollywood.
That is so crazy. Yeah, because now every Mark Wahlberg movie I watch now, it's just in the back of my head.
Every time I see him on that commercial for DirecTV, I just think, oh man, I hope there's no Koreans around. He's
Told you.
Yeah. I hate him.
Yeah.
I don't even know if we released that podcast yet. This might be a sneak peek into our next release podcast.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Is that the last thing?
No.
Yeah, one more?
We have a surprise.
Oh, a surprise.
This will be a quick one.
Okay.
Quickie.
Today, the director or the showrunner of the Legion television show, towards the end of his panel, mentioned that the next movie that he is working on is for Fox, and it is a standalone Doctor Doom movie.
What? Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's awesome.
It is. Yeah. Could be. Of course, we've seen what they've done with the Fantastic Four.
Yes, that's
a way. But this is a way for them to keep, I think, the Fantastic Four without making another Fantastic Four movie.
Yeah, because it's part of the property.
Yep.
So as much as I would like, it's a gift to think that there's going to be a standalone Doctor Doom movie, because I would really love to see one.
Yeah,
I love that character.
As long as it's done well.
But the more that they do this, that means they're not.
Yeah.
The rights aren't going back to Marvel.
They're not letting those go.
They let the Punisher go.
Yeah, that's true.
Wow. They let Daredevil go. They tried, they failed, they went, nah, oh well.
Yeah.
They tried, they failed twice. Well. I didn't hate the first two Fantastic Four movies. I didn't like them. I thought they did a lot.
They were okay.
At best. Yeah. I mean, they were not good, but I didn't hate them.
Yeah.
Right.
They had things that I was not completely hating, I guess.
There was stuff and things.
Yeah.
Doug Jones.
Yeah, Doug Jones. The portrayal of Dr. Doom was horrible.
Right.
Yeah.
I liked what's horrible though is that, like, I liked the actor that they had for Dr. Doom, but what they
Julian?
Did them, yeah.
From Nip Tuck?
Nip Tuck, yeah, because I love Nip Tuck.
I love Nip Tuck too.
That's a good show. It's a great show.
It shouldn't have been a great show.
It shouldn't have been. Took me a long time to actually watch it because I didn't really want to watch it, but then the Carver season is the one that sucked me in.
I started watching, I think, pretty early on and was just... It was just weird. Yeah.
It was
unique. Yeah. Ryan Murphy makes interesting shows.
Yeah.
American Horror Story.
It was between that and Californication. So
I never watched that.
I always thought it was weird because David Duchovny at one point was actually, or as now I call him, ever since my son saw the X-Files credits and in his reading thought it was Dutch Oveny.
Getting Dutch Oveny. that's way more awesome.
Yeah. It went to treatment for being a sex addict.
Yeah.
In real life, I always thought it was weird.
That's a show pretty close to home for him.
Doom movie.
I wonder if it's going to be like the infamous Doom.
It'll all be first person from the Latverian perspective. I would watch the living hell out of that movie. Like you just see, like, like I don't know, his servants bring a goblet, and you just see, and then you just see him smack the servant, and then it's warm.
Oh, that would be good.
I'd love to see a Dr. Doom reality show. We might have talked about that once.
Dr. Doom reality show? I don't know.
We never
talked
about that.
I don't know why. When I was younger, I thought that it was back when I'm With Busey was out.
I thought that was amazing.
I thought an I'm With Doom would be the most amazing mockumentary that ever existed.
Great. That would be great.
We need to do that.
I'm With Doom.
I'm making the mask.
There you go. We didn't do that. Watch our YouTube channel. This might happen. But I'm with Busey. That was... Gary Busey's one of those guys that I just... I don't know. Just really enjoy watching him. All right. Well, is that it?
All right.
I guess that's it.
That's all.
Wrap up. Check us out on Facebook, All My Issues, on Twitter at All of My Issues.
On our website, allofmyissues.com.
There you go.
We have an email, but I can't
info
at allmyissues.com.
All right.
Later.
See ya.
Bye.
What is wrong?